Got it? That's the truth. In relationship to what they shared with you just a few minutes ago, Paul was knocked down many times. The Bible says he was knocked down, but the one thing he said, he got back up. The choice of getting back up is in your hands, isn't it? Because you will get knocked down in this life. Everybody does. But whether you lay there and have your pity party or whether you again fix your eyes and focus on the Lord and get back up is up to you. Do what is right. Do what is right. Peter said and told us that we are to do the will of God. And in doing the will of God, we will be doing what is right. And in doing what is right, he says you can silence the mouths of the foolish people of this world by doing what is right. Now, if you look in the book of Revelation, you'll find there about the church that was at Laodicea. You'll find that as you back up through those churches, they digress in. But in one of those churches, the writer John refers to the black stone. A black stone back then was when someone gave someone a bad name. The church has given Jesus a bad name. The church of that time had blackstoned him. And people were cursing him, and people were turning against him, and getting a wrong concept of what God intended for the world to see in and through the person of his Son. Because the church back then, as it has continued to do so, has not always done what is right according to the will of God. According to the will of God. Right is defined as that which is just and good, moral priority that is agreeable to a standard and is related and conforms to the truth. Conforms to the truth. James 4:17 states, therefore, to one who knows to do right and does not do it, to him it is a sin. James says, for you and I to know what is right and what is right to be done, and we do not do it, to that one it becomes a sin. I have been trying to take the word right and do what you call an acrostic, looking at each letter. And as we have done that, I've tried to look at it from different dimensions. I believe that as you look at that letter right, R, I've made it represents righteousness, that which is right, that which is upright. Righteousness is always connected to obedience. It's always connected to it. You and I only are looked upon by God as righteous in the direct ratio to how we are obeying His will and His commands. Abraham believed God and obeyed him, and it was credited to Abraham as righteousness. Jesus walked all the way to Jordan to be baptized of John. John forbade him, but Jesus said, this is necessary that I might make righteousness complete, fulfill it in my own personal life, John, because John's baptism was a command from God. Jesus, being a man, had to obey it like everyone else did. Everyone else did. So I can't see you and I looking at any aspect and believing we can look upon ourselves as being righteous if we know in our hearts, and we do, whether or not we're really submitting ourselves to the will of God. R, that. I is represented what? Integrity. Now, integrity is interesting because you plan on having integrity. You make a decision in your mind that you're going to be a man, a woman, a person of integrity. You plan that. That means that no matter what, you are going to stand firm in your moral values and you're not going to bend to the right nor to the left. You're going to have what Peter said this morning, add to your faith, moral excellence, virtue. That means when you are tempted, you're going to resist it. You're going to say no. Just like Joseph said no and he fled Pharaoh's wife. Flee fornication. It is the one sin against the body. No. No, 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 no. I am going to walk the straight and the narrow. That's a decision we all make. Out of that comes integrity. Because you're the same today as you will be tomorrow. God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. You can put your faith and trust in that, right? G is good. Jesus went about doing good, people. The Bible says he went about doing good. And good is that which is and what benefits the whole, remember? And brings soundness and harmony into that which it relates to. Everything God created is good, right? Because everything God created somehow benefits the rest of creation. It fits into the whole. And so when you and I are about doing good, and we are walking in that goodness, doing good unto all people, especially those who are the family of God, we're bringing wholeness, soundness into the world today. As brother said, there's a lot of evil, right? And the only reason evil prevails is because good people do nothing. You ever heard that? So I looked at that. Then I looked at H, and I believe H represents hope. Hope, okay? It stands for that sacred four-letter word that should and is the foundation of every one of your walk. You live and walk by hope and faith in God. Hope, faith, love, I mean, those are the three elements, right? But hope is that confident, say that, hope is a confident, hope is a confident expectation of something good. Is it going to happen in my life? Do you hear that? Hope is a confident expectation of something good is going to happen. In what? Because God is good. You hope in God, don't you? Your hope is in God, isn't it? God is good. And therefore, how many times has the Bible said, God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His will or His purpose, okay? Every good and perfect gift comes down from our Father in heaven. Happy Father's Day. And there's no shadow, no variation, no turning from Him. God can only do that which is right, which is good, because that is who He is. He is a good God. Now, Satan's done a masterful job, maybe in your own mind, of diverting your mind from being able to see the goodness of God. But it's interesting, in Romans chapter 2, the writer Paul said through the Holy Spirit that it's the goodness of God that leads people to repent. Have you really seen His goodness? Do you know how good He is? Huh? You really know how good He is. I believe there's a lot of people who have not really come to grips with the reality of who God really is. He is a God of hope. Hope is what gets you focused. And that's going to heaven. You fix your eyes on Jesus Christ, you're going to set your mind on things that are above, things that are eternal, not on things that are temporary, things that are going to pass away. You're looking forward to the aspect of what your end of that hope is, and your hope in God is that He has promised you eternal life. Secondly, not only that is that anchor, you're going to have tribulation. You're going to have struggle. Wind and wind, storms are going to beat against you. How long that happens, I do not know. But I do know the wise man is he who builds his house upon a rock. And when the storms come, the wind blows, his life stands. Why? Because he hears the word of God and he obeys it. The foolish man is he who hears the word of God and doesn't obey it. Now notice, both of them are going to have storms and wind and hurricanes and whatever beating against their lives. What's the difference? It's a hope. The hope is the anchor of the soul, according to Hebrews. That is what keeps you steadfast and sure when the billows roll and the storms come. Your hope is in God. He's going to deliver you. He's going to, in His time. He will deliver you. Look at what Joseph went through. And did God deliver him at the final end? What did Job go through? Did God deliver him in the final end? Your hope. You lose hope, you've lost your anchor. Thirdly, not only does it fix your focus and it's your anchor, it's your motivation. It's a motivating force in your life that causes you to keep your life pure before God, because you have this promise. When you see Him, you will become like Him. And they who have this hope keep themselves pure. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Okay? So T, the last letter, is truth. It's truth. Jesus said, I am the truth. He didn't say, I'm a part of it, I'm a little bit of it. He said, I am. The consummation of all truth is found in Jesus Christ. It's in Him that all things hold together. That's the truth. The reason why the universe, the world, and everything around us seems to be falling apart. Well, you ought to know if you know the book. You know why. Did you know that man's heart is despicably evil? Who can understand it, Jeremiah said. From out of the heart of men comes liars and murderers and whoremongers and homos and whatever. Out of your heart is where the root of evil comes. Hard to believe, isn't it? Did you know when you became a Christian, God gave you and created a new heart? He cut out the old one, the old man, the old person, the individual who at one time had been living and enslaved, and He cut your heart. He did heart surgery, and He gave you a new heart. And did you know that He also took your spirit and crucified it and put His spirit in you? It's not you who lives anymore. That's the truth. If you're a Christian, it's Christ who lives in you, and He is the hope of glory. That we're being transformed, changed right now, and ultimately we will become like Him. Do you know the truth? Jesus said, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. In other words, truth can be known. You know that? We live in a world today of relativism. There is no truth. I mean, we're going to walk that path in a little bit. But think about it. Think about it. How important is truth? Truth is what makes you free. How many lies have we been told lately? The head of the major religion of the world just told us that global warming is true. And yet I can show you meteorologists who aren't even Christians who will tell you it isn't true. You remember the ice age? We were going to overcome by the ice age. Remember when that was happening a few years ago? Now it's global warming. You remember when we cut down too many trees and we were going to die because we were going to lack oxygen? You remember that one? You remember back when we was overpopulating the earth and we were having too many children and so on and so forth? Satan always controls his world by fear. And he uses political powers and rulers of the air to do it. Are you listening? That is the truth. Our battle isn't against flesh and blood. It's against principalities and powers and rulers and evil in high places. Because he is the prince of the world, whether you want to acknowledge it or not. There is an evil force in the world today. There really is. In Jesus' prayer to His Father, in John 17, He says in the 17th verse, praying to God, sanctify them, set them apart. Set them apart in truth. Your word is truth. This is truth. You hear me? Jesus said, my word is spirit, and it is truth. Anything that man says, anything that is taught by any other person, even an angel for heaven, if it isn't in harmony with what this book says, it is a lie. It is a lie. And whether you know it or not, Satan is the father of all lies. But he's the father of all lies. So what is truth? John 18, when Jesus was standing before Pilate, you remember that occasion? I want to just read it and remind you very quickly, John 18. And Jesus is answering him in the 36th verse. And Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting, so I would not be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm. Therefore Pilate said to him, so you are a king. Jesus answered and said, you say correctly that I am a king. For this I have been born, for this I have come into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews. And then Pilate said to him, what did he say? What is truth? Brother, that's the path that man has walked. from generation to generation to generation, and you and I have inherited all that we are dealing with today, and it has progressively gotten worse from history. Remember the Dark Ages? Have you studied history at all? Have you heard of the Dark Ages? You remember when they burned books and they burned the Bible and they did everything to keep people ignorant? Why do you want to keep people ignorant? So you can enslave them. You can control them. That was planned. That was definitely a plan of man, was to enslave people. And so they did in the Dark Ages what you and I, many people, they could not read. They could not write. In fact, when the Bible was finally printed by the printing press and put into language of the people, they hired Lollers, went out into the field and read the Bible to common people who couldn't read and couldn't write. Did you know that? And at the end of 400 B.C., there began a stage and a beginning of a development, progressively development, of called the period of the Enlightenment. You remember that? Enlightenment means that knowledge became accessible. People were learning to read. People, books were being printed, written, etc., etc. But the problem was that continuously, they were not connecting it to the truth, and therefore, man connected himself to nature. The natural world was the only thing that was real. Nothing was real beyond the natural world that you can see, taste, feel, whatever. That was the realm of reality in most people's lives way back then. Don't lose me. Stay with me. So human reason is the only thing that made sense. And from that human reason led to a higher form of intellectualism. Sooner or later, man began to emphasize man. Man became humanism set in, and they began to look and project that man as the form of truth. So there came Plato, there came Homer, there came all these different philosophies that are still alive, permeating our society today and the way we think. And the way we think. Intellectualism increased. And on and on. PhDs, you know, the PhD is a posthole digger. And I'm serious. Because if they can't take what they have intellectually come to understand through the natural world and understood it and compared to the one who created the natural world, it doesn't make sense to them. I said it doesn't make sense to them. You cannot bring good out of a hole if you don't put the goodness of God in the hole and make him the center of all knowledge. It can't be done, people. I don't care what. And all you see then is man's wisdom becoming foolishness. I mean, have you heard it? You hear it? How foolish it is the way people think when they leave God out of the equation. And how long ago? Well, I'm not there yet. Okay. So in the scriptures and the spiritual realm was completely ignored, totally. There was a period of time when it was not in the realm of human thinking. And as history unfolded and cultures began to develop and the common aspect, there was a common denominator that had been formed and became very clear, as Romans 1:25 said, people begin to exchange the truth for a lie. I said they begin to take the truth that's right there in front of them. Take that same truth and turn it into a lie. You see, you can't take something and turn it into a lie unless you know what the truth is. Did you understand what I just said? You see, you can't be a hypocrite. A hypocrite is a play actor who knows how they ought to be acting, but they're acting contrary to how they ought to be acting, right? That's a hypocrite, right? Remember that. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2-7, Paul told Timothy, preach the word. Why? Are you listening? For the time will come where they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, which means, please say something that's going to make me feel good. Appeal to my emotions. Give me an experience that I'll never forget. Tickling of the ear is I want to hear something that's going to apply to my emotions, my feelings. Brother, we have gone into the myriad of feelings today. Feelings have become the criteria of right and wrong. If it feels good, it's right for you. Now, I may not think it's right for me because it doesn't feel good. Well, then it's wrong for me. But I have no right to tell you that what you feel is good is wrong. Got it? That's the progressive thinking that had started way back when in that world that has now evolved itself into this context that you and I are living in today. So what does people do? What do people do? They will accumulate. The King James says, heap up to themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires. Brother, the church is there today. I want to hear what I want to hear, and you better preach what I want to hear, and if you don't preach what I want to hear, I'm going to go somewhere where I can hear, because I want my ears tickled. I don't want to be convicted. I don't want anyone telling me that I am not totally, I don't want to hear that. I don't want, my professor Ethel Dale used to say, if people aren't convicted, there'll be no change. I don't know. I can't pick up the book and read it and not get convicted. I mean, I really do because, you know, I just have. So as it goes on, and we'll turn their ears from the truth and turn aside to myths. Okay? Brother, we're there. Now, it didn't start now. It started back in the 1500s and the 1600s, and it has progressively evolved into a theory of evolution. And the theory of evolution is based on the fact that matter is an eternal substance. Matter has always been. Isn't that amazing? And yet it's been proven by the scientific world through the second law of thermodynamics that that's not true. Matter is burning up. The sun is losing its energy. Thing. And out of that came this great theory, the survival of the fittest. Well, you don't think that controlled Hitler's thinking? You don't think that's controlled many Stalins and all that who wanted to get rid of the weak? You don't think that you haven't heard of euthanasia in America? You don't think that progressively that man continues to follow what he has been inherited as far as knowledge is concerned? If that knowledge is not correspondent and foundationally based upon truth. You understand what I'm saying? So in the late 1800s, early 1900s, we entered a world of subjectivism. One can only know what can be experienced by one's senses. This became a world of experience and feeling. And what are you going to take out? I don't feel like it. What are you going to do? You going to work today? I don't know if I feel like it or not. Well, what are you going to do? I don't know. I just don't feel like it. I 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 don't feel like it. Have you heard that lately? But say, yes, he just did. I don't feel like it. I don't feel like it. So what's that produce? A very clear, irresponsible society. You know what I mean? It does. And so out of that has grown many experiences where no absolute truth today. All is inside of oneself. It's all what's inside of you. So if you go to a Rogerian psychologist, he's going to put you in a separate room, put a TV monitor on you. He's going to set in another room, and he's going to ask you certain questions. How do you feel right now? What do you feel inside? You feeling good about yourself? Oh, I see. Every question he's going to ask relates to feelings, because feelings is the only absolute today. You hear what I just said? Feelings are the absolute of truth today. It's how you feel on the inside. You get that? It's how you feel about yourself. It's how you feel on the inside. So what are they? They're projecting us to become eternal, looking at a... Is it any wonder if you hear people say, well, I'm not getting out anything out of this relationship anymore. I'm going somewhere else and find another one. You ever get the picture that all of a sudden we're developed into a very selfish, self-centered, narcissistic culture? Have you heard your president lately? You don't think anybody is sold on himself and internal? And who sold him on that? All the lies that were given to him by whom, and whom, and he received it as truth? And as truth then? I mean, come on, people. I don't care who you think you are. You have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and you need forgiveness. And you will only feel good in your heart, in your life, when you do what is right. When you live upright before God, live a righteous life, and you become a person of integrity, and you start involving yourself in making life better for others by doing good, and you put your heart and your life, and foundationally you start building your life on the hope that is given you in this book. Not what man gives, not what scientists give, but what God gives. That becomes the foundation, and then you start living and walking by the truth of this book. This book is a lamp unto my feet, and it's a light unto my path. Have you read that? That's what it says, right? And so, in 2 Timothy 3:7, it says, ever learning, never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. Man, libraries upon libraries, books upon books are being written today. Knowledge has increased in the last 10 years. It's almost tripled. How much of it do you know? Don't you feel kind of ignorant? How much do you need to know? I'm serious. How much do you need to know? You only need to know the truth. And the truth is in a person, not in a book. And that truth is embodied in the person of Jesus Christ. And Jesus, and in him, all things consist and have its being. And if you know Jesus Christ as the truth in your personal life, you know all you need to know. Because everything else will come into circumference to that dynamic fact, okay? Closing, I got to close, I know I do. But we know that in the 60s, we entered into a whole new realm of postmodernism. And man simply sort of gave up on his search for truth. The road ended. That's in the 60s and 70s. What did we enter into? We entered into a Søren Kierkegaard, who was a psychologist in Texas, who began to teach, and it permeated our colleges and our institutions in America, and said the only way you'll ever find your own personal reality is you're going to have to bypass the mind and take an irrational leap into your future. Now, usually I jump, but I'm not going to because I had hip surgery. Probably wouldn't be wise for me, but when I'm preaching like this in a revival, sometimes I'll leap, you know. But the point is, so what did we enter into? A culture of drugs? If I can only find my personal reality on the inside through bypassing my mind. How do you bypass your mind? By getting high. Alcoholism. Cocaine. Heroin. Drug. So what happens? As a period of time goes on and we see this postmodernism develop, what happens? All we do now is whatever people want, we make it legal. Did you hear what I just said? We legalize it. We make it accessible. Let them blow up their brains. Let them destroy their life. Come on. Why not? If there is no God, there is no truth. Why not eat, drink, and be merry? Because what am I going to do? Tomorrow I'm just going to die. Let's get it over with, right? Now, maybe you haven't entered into that culture, but I've spent time in Ann Arbor and hospital and in culture and places where I've seen kids, young people, whose minds are totally gone, and I've sat there and counseled them, prayed with them, and I've seen them go through withdrawals and the suffering and the agonizing and the problems and the difficulties that it's brought to their family. There's no good come out of it, people. There's no good in it. There is no good in it. Nothing makes a person feel whole when you but because God said, come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they can be white as snow. So we entered this world of drugs, alcoholism. We bypassed the brain today, And that's where we are. Okay? And since then, man just continues to legalize every aspect of what people want to enjoy. Let's make it okay for them to enjoy it. But I believe there is an objective truth. I believe that truth is absolute. I believe it's right here in my hands today. Okay? And I'm going to be diligent to present myself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of God, accurately dividing it, handling, because it is the word of truth. I believe that. When John wrote 2 John, he said, I thank God that I have heard that you are walking in the truth. The 3 John, he says, it is my joy and I'm so happy, I am so fulfilled to hear that the people of God are walking in the truth. How do you walk in the truth? You walk in the Word, in the light of the Word. Right here it is. Happy Father's Day. Gentlemen, the world needs you. I said, gentlemen, men, your family needs you. Your family needs you. Your wife needs you. Your wife needs to see you loving her like Christ loved the church and giving himself for it. Your children need them. Your daughters need to see a father who loves them and caresses and holds them and shows them what it means. They need to see you loving their mother the way God would have you to love her. They need to see that. They need to be able to look at what it means to see a man loving a woman pure in heart. Your sons need to see a man. I didn't have a father, really, image. Until I met Melon's father. And since then, I have met many godly men in my walk. And I've looked at them and evaluated them, and I've seen the manhood of these men, and I've exemplified it to the best of my ability. But you got to be a man in a man's world. That's where we live. And the reason this world's falling apart is because it lacks manhood. The Bible says God is over Christ, Christ is over man, and man is over woman. Well, there can be no woman subjecting to a man that has not, first of all, subjected himself to Jesus Christ. That's the order. And the order is that we don't have that order, even in Christian homes today. We have homes filled with men who are not living lives of integrity. Men who are good at heart. Men who are honest and truthful. Men, if you will, who are pure and seeking God, first of all, and setting an example for the rest of their families. Right? Men who are living upright, setting a God-fearing example. But men of hope. We have so many men in the kingdom of God who are so pessimistic and so down, so ungodly in their behavior because they are continuously not allowing God to be the living hope upon which they have built their lives. That no matter what, God can keep them from stumbling, falling, but and someday present them faultless to God someday. Men, we need to walk in obedience to God. Men, we need to be walking in our integrity. Men, we need to be walking about doing good unto others and especially unto the household. We need to be a man of hope. And we need to be men of truth. We may not be able to convert the world, but you can convert your family. And if you're a grandfather, a man, what difference can you make in your grandchildren's lives right now? What the world needs is godly men. Whether they're fathers, grandfathers, neighbor, it doesn't matter. Just be a man today. In an ungodly world. Amen. God bless you. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for the opportunity we have to evaluate what we have inherited from the past, but yet knowing that you have been faithful to your word and that heaven and earth will pass away, but your word will not. And God, we are people who believe in it, that it is the truth, and I pray we'll stand in that truth, we'll build our lives upon that truth, and will even be willing to die for that truth. Thank you for each man, for each father, grandfather, for each one who is here today. God, I just pray your richest blessings upon them, that you would ignite within them a desire to be the man that you would have them to be, that they can indeed be and make a difference in the world in which they live. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.